Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Lori Lee. Are you ready to learn some things they never taught us in school about money? Last year, one of the favorite episodes was my interview with Dr. Amanda, the money doctor. Money is a really big part of our lives, so of course we want to learn and demystify how to get it, how to grow it, how to remove blocks to it. So 2024 delivers as well. Today, Kristen Wanch, a wizard with numbers and one of a handful of women to land a highly coveted role of structuring multi-million dollar deals as a commodities trader, she is here with us on the show to talk about choosing with intention the life that we want and then building the numbers around it. Her money mastery method is the world's first to teach women to master the art of earning efficiently and spending smart and investing intentionally while also rewiring subconscious money beliefs from the ground up. That is big stuff. So stay tuned and get richer. Stories are our lives in language. Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm Lori Lee, and I'm excited for our future together of telling stories, evaluating our own stories, and lifting ourselves and others to greater places because of our control over our stories. This podcast is about empowerment and giving you, the listener, ideas to work with in making your stories work for you. Story power serves you best when you know how to use it. Kristen, welcome to the Love Your Story podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
Yes, let's talk. So you went from $100,000 in debt to being a global money coach. Can we start with your story about how you turned that around? Tell us where you were and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because I think when a lot of people think about money and, you know, building wealth and talking about investing and all of these things, it's really easy to think, you know, I need to know how to negotiate, or I need to know how to invest. I need to know how to budget. Like, I need the tool. And from my own experience and of all the clients I've worked with, it's very rarely, you know, the education piece that you're missing. It is so often what's happening in your mind that's actually preventing you from getting to where you want to be. And so for me, my story was very much a reflection of that. You know, worked in corporate. I was a studied finance. You know, I was a really, really good with numbers. I climbed the corporate ladder. I was making great money, over $100,000 a year, plus bonuses. But I was in $100,000 worth of debt because I was just spending all of my money. And, you know, I was living this very deeply unfulfilling life. And I was constantly repeating this pattern of like high highs and low lows. And so it wasn't for lack of understanding numbers that was getting me there. It was like all of the things that I, all the patterning that I had from childhood, all of the, you know, the ways that I was keeping myself stuck in the same places. And so for me, it was like when I really started to understand my own mind and I really became aware of all of the beliefs that I was holding in my brain that were causing me to make the same decisions over and over again, the same overspending, the same patterns of stress, the same patterns of, you know, constantly living in fight or flight. And I was all of the things that were going wrong in my life. Like I, when I recognized and I admitted and I acknowledged I was creating them, and it was, you know, through working with coaches that I began to really understand this and own that I was responsible for my results, I was able to shift everything and really change my patterns of how I related to money, how I would hold money, how I would invest money, and became a woman that was the kind of woman that's just really responsible with money, that's really powerful with money, that's confident with money, that feels comfortable and safe growing wealth. And that's, you know, how everything changed for me. And that's what I teach women now.
Okay. So can I ask here, I think one of the things that, you know, when we're just starting is how do we figure out what our limiting mindsets are about money? Like we might know that we have them, or we might be like, yeah, my results aren't great, but I'm not sure what it is that I'm thinking, or, you know, what happened in my past or whatever it is that's forming that block. So it sounded like your coaches helped you find yours. What do you suggest for people figuring out what's holding them back?
Yeah. So there are a few places you can look. And this is why coaching is so powerful, is because we're always believing our own bullshit, right?
And so always,
you know, you might, for example, you might be in indecision about, should I make this next investment in myself, right? I don't know if it's the right investment. But really what, and so you might think, okay, I'm going to wait until next month. It's going to feel more comfortable next month. You might actually believe, oh, the decision, it's not the right time. The decision is going to feel easier next month. But really, you're just a little bit nervous about making a big investment in yourself, right? Because there's some uncertainty around that. And so we believe our own bullshit in the way that we think that it's going to be easier in a couple of weeks, but the decision never gets easier. So that's one example of like the ways that we lie to ourselves and the power of coaching. But the way that you can really understand what's happening in your mind is, you know, even if you don't have a coach, a few different places you can look. First, your results. So for example, if you are earning 100 grand a year, your belief is consistent with, I believe myself to be the kind of person that can earn 100 grand a year, right? If you're not earning half a million, you don't believe you're capable of that yet, right? Which means you're not, you know, if you don't believe it's possible to be earning that much money, you're not going after jobs that are at, you know, a much higher level. You're not even applying. You're not even talking to people in industries that would be, you know, playing at that level. You're not asking for raises. You're not doing what it takes at your, you know, at your employer right now to get a promotion, right? You're not doing the things in the world that would be required to get to the next level because you just don't believe it's possible. So your results are always a reflection of what you believe to be true.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then, you know, another way is just asking yourself, right? Like, what am I believing in this moment, right? You know, for example, if I am asking, this is, you know, not related to money, but if I'm thinking about asking somebody on a date and I feel myself being really nervous, well, what am I believing in this moment? Oh, I believe they're not going to say yes, right? And so I'm like, I'm not even going to ask them. I'm holding myself back, right? The nervousness or the like the self-doubt is a sign of what I'm believing, right? But if you just ask yourself, like, what do I believe about this? Well, I believe it's going to be a no, so I'm not even doing it.
I think when you said we really buy into our own bullshit, that you're right on with that, but we buy into it so much that we think that it's fact. So I think it's sometimes really difficult to say, oh, I'm going to be aware of what I'm thinking and feeling, because when we check in with ourselves, we're like, well, that's fact, and that's fact, and that's fact. And so even sorting through all of that, I think, can be challenging, which is probably where a coach, a good skilled coach would be helpful, because they can call you out on the things of, let's double check that one there.
Totally. So yeah, so just some examples around that. I mean, I had a client that was, she had maxed out her business with the amount of clients she could take on, and we're, you know, looking at the strategy for like, what was the next level of income for her? Well, one of the next level ups was having a conversation with one of her big clients around the way that she was billing for hours. And it was an uncomfortable conversation. She was just avoiding it because she was worried that it was just going to be a no. And so she had committed to the conversation, and then she came back the next week and she hadn't had it yet. She's like, oh, things got busy. You know, here are all the reasons. And then the next week came back and she still hadn't had the conversation. And so that was when I knew for sure, because like once is a bit of a fluke, but twice is, you know, a coincidence.
It's a pattern.
Right. And so like literally my coaching for her was like, that's, you're full of shit. Like you're not, you did have time. Right. But what's really present for you. And so when she really dropped in and reflected, it's like, oh, you know, I'm really afraid they're going to say no. So of course, when you believe they're going to say no, you avoid the conversation. Well, so because in the coaching container, I'm, you know, reflecting her, like, do you want to keep avoiding this conversation because you're afraid it might be a no? What if it was a yes, right? And what ended up happening was she committed to the conversation. The next week she had it, and it was like almost 40 grand more in her pocket just like that. And they were actually happy that she had had the conversation with them.
Wow.
Because they were like, how many of our other contractors are thinking this and just not saying it? And they're like, thank you for raising this. And so what she made in her head to be this really uncomfortable, awkward thing was actually, you know, a welcome conversation that landed her with a lot more money really easily. This is what we tend to avoid, right? Or I remember.
No, that's a great example. I mean, that really is a great example of how we can hold ourselves back and how we're building a story in our head about how things are or will be when we really don't know.
No, totally. And, you know, just to give you an example from my own coaching, this was maybe a month ago. My coach said to me on one of our calls, we had this, you know, really, really long conversation. You know, we're trying Facebook ads. Like there's a lot of strategic stuff that's happening in my business right now. And she said to me, she's like, you know, Kristen, you know how often you say, this is just really hard, right? Like this is going to be hard. I was saying the phrase like, this is something that's hard for me right now. And I was like, whoa, I am saying that a lot, right? So instead of saying like, I'm working on solving this problem, I was just continuing to really create the story of this is hard. And so like, sometimes it can be true, right? Like us learning the process around Facebook ads, yeah, I could look at all the ways that that's hard, or I could just keep telling myself the story. I'm learning this and it's improving, getting better, right? It's a very different energy, right? Because when I tell myself something's really hard, I spend less time engaged in it. I spend more time avoiding it.
Yes.
I don't devote resources to it, right? I don't want to solve the problem because it feels really hard versus, oh, I'm just working on a solution for this, right? It's a very different energy. And one gets you to the solution a lot more quickly, right?
Well, and I think it creates, like you say, it creates a different energy and you will attract what you want when you're creating that positive energy. I think when that example you showed was just lovely, because I have those pop up all the time. And when I'm like, oh, self-aware, shift that one. But the idea of this is really hard, it will be really hard. It will stay really hard as long as you're saying that. You know, it'll be like you're pulling yourself through mud. But when you can shift that, it's like the I have to do this versus the I'm blessed to do this.
Yeah.
Those are two different mindsets that create two different energies. And it's in yourself. Like it shifts the energy in you, which then shifts the energy of how you're doing it and what you're pulling to yourself. You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. And I want people to know how subtle it can be, right? Because I'm a very positive person and I'm always like, I'm excited by, you know, being able to solve problems. Like I always think in the space of possibility, but even my brain was saying that, like, it's hard. Like a lot of things are hard, right? And I wasn't even aware of that. So it took someone mirroring to me, hey, Kristen, you're saying this a lot. Like what's there for you? And so really inquiring, because otherwise I'm just going about my day, just not even realizing that's there for me. And so even for somebody that's been doing the work for a really long time, we all have these things, these blind spots we're not aware of. And so it's whether it's like really big things, like you're always in scarcity about money, or you're always feeling tension about no matter, you know, even if you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, you feel like there's not enough, right? It could be big things like that, or it could be really subtle things, like just the way that you talk about money. If you use the word expensive a lot, that's a really subtle one that I see a lot of people. It's like, stop telling yourself stuff is expensive. That's just not a valuable story.
So where does someone draw the line between, like, as you shifted into your second self, you became really responsible with money. And I think there's this space, I want to know this answer for myself. I'm very responsible with money and but I feel like it's a stewardship, right? Like, I feel like you need to be responsible with money. You work for it, you attract it, it comes to you. And if you just blow it all the time, then, you know, anyway, I feel like you need to be responsible with it. So there's this line, what if something is expensive? Like, and I guess expensive is a relative term, but okay. You know, that mindset where they say you will get what, or act as if, right? So if you act as if you have more money, to some people that just means buying whatever they want and spending without consideration of what they've actually got, that type of thing. Whereas, you know, being responsible and living within a budget and knowing where you're headed and what money you need for those things, according to that mindset, might feel like you're limiting yourself. Is any of this making sense? Can you switch through this for me?
Okay.
Where's that balance?
I know exactly what you're saying, and I have so many thoughts. So yes, I think that the traditional way we've been taught to budget and to manage money feels very restrictive. Like we're basically programmed with the belief of like spending is bad. And if you spend, you're bad and you should just constrict as much as possible. And that's what you should do. And that can get you to a place of saving a lot of money, but it doesn't feel good because every time you spend any amount of money, whether it's, you know, $3 on strawberries or, you know, $5,000 on a couch, you kind of feel a little bit guilty. And so I just don't think that that's valuable. And so for me, the act as if is also swinging really far in the other direction. It's just spend without an awareness of how much money is actually there. So you're just living in the land of delusion. And I actually think when you can have a handle on both, and so I'll give you an example through a lot of like this, I get the same question, even clients that sign on with me in the early days, they always, and they ask again and again, and they think my answer is going to change. They're like, what percentage of my income should I be spending on certain things? Like, just give me a number, right? Is it 30% on clothes? Is it 50% on home? And the way that I teach money management and, you know, budgeting, there's no formula for that. It's actually this tool that gives you visibility into where all your money is going. And so, for example, say you have 10 grand in cash that comes into your bank every month. You just get to decide where that goes. So maybe, you know, 2 grand goes to your mortgage, 1,000 goes to food. You have all your necessary expenses, right? Like those you have to spend. And then maybe you have 5 grand left over. You just get to decide, right? So there's no one right place that says like you have to spend, put $1,000 toward your debt payments. You have to spend, you know, 20% on the vacation. That isn't valuable or relevant, because some people might get a lot of joy out of spending a few grand every month going out for dinners with their friends. And for somebody else, that might be their worst nightmare. And so like you just, with all your disposable income, you just get to decide. And when you are actually clear on the numbers, because you have the right tool, which is what I teach, it's a very simple, you don't even ask me that question. It's a very simple answer that you just get to decide from a place of total freedom, because you're clear on what your choices are, right? So say you have that 5 grand, it's like, do I want to put half of that 5 grand toward my investments and I can see what that grows for me over the next couple of years so that I can retire 5 years earlier? Or do I really want to book my, you know, my family and all expenses paid trip this year? And that's really important to me now. And it's not my job to tell you the best fulfilling life and the best way to use your money. But when you actually know the numbers, you can make that decision on your own. But what most people try to do is they don't know their numbers. And they're just like, I'm going to act as if, and I'm going to, you know, buy the vacations and the clothes and all the things. And they've overspent. And then they end up in a bunch of debt. And they're like, oh, what happened? I was acting as if I should be attracting more money. And it's like, you can act from a place of abundance, but still know your numbers and live the fulfilling life, right? Mm. And if you are clear on the numbers and those numbers aren't enough to give you the life you want to live, then make more money. And that's also something I teach in the work that we do. It's like, if the life that you want to live today costs you double what you're making, instead of spending twice as much on a credit card, let's get you making more money so that you can afford it all.
Okay. So let's talk about what you do then, because this is a great transition. So someone comes to you and you, first step is, you know, what life is it that you desire? And then let's build the numbers around it, right? So what does that look like? How do you help people do that?
Yeah. So the first thing I always start with when I work with women is crafting clear dreams. So like creating a really clear vision for your life. And it seems like, you know, people have probably done visioning before and they're, you know, clear on what they want out of life. But I would say most people really aren't totally clear. Most people have just been sold the dream from society, you know, buy a house, have 2.5 kids, a white picket fence, a dog and a half. And, you know, most people living that life actually aren't fulfilled. You know, I live a very unusual life on the beaches of Costa Rica in a tiny surf town. Not everyone wants to live this life, but like, let's get clear on what life you actually desire and give yourself permission to create that vision unapologetically. Mm, and
I love that.
Yeah. When you do that, you know how much money, like, and then we decide how much money do you need to make that happen? How many vacations do you want to go on this year? Like, do you want to take 3 months off this year and not have to work at all? Like, what does that look like? And then, yeah, let's get some numbers around it. So we're not living in la la land, just hoping for the best. And then, you know, the second piece is really unpacking and uncovering your limiting beliefs, because I could give you all the tools, all the education around investing, all the things, but you won't take any action on it. You'll just stay stuck spinning in confusion, because you're stuck behind your limiting beliefs and you don't even realize. So we clear all of those away.
How do you clear them? So you identify them, and then how do you get rid of them? Because they're pretty deeply seated, aren't they?
Some of them, once you see them, you know, like I said, with, you know, my example with my coach, you know, I just, now I'm aware of every time that comes up for me. And so I'm just, it's like building a muscle. So I teach a tool in my program that women get that allows you to see all those beliefs as they appear in your life, because they'll continue to come up again and again. Mm. And you could just create different beliefs. So you recognize them, you clear them away, and you create new beliefs. And so you can do that on your own. It's like building a muscle, but you also do it through coaching. So every week we come together and I coach you on the things that maybe you're not seeing, the things that you're not, you know, not aware of. And so what happens is you're just not being held back by those beliefs. You're not believing them as much. I had a client on a call yesterday that is really building a lot of relationships to level up for her next gig. She wants to transition companies. And she is was under the assumption like that she has to wine and dine clients and spend hundreds of dollars taking them for dinner because she works in venture capital. And there's a big culture around that kind of that thing. And I'm like, is that really required? You know, given where you're at financially, is that really required to build these relationships? Is that really what they're looking for, right? Or is it that how well you know them and how much you care and how open you are, right? Like, is the amount of money you spend on a dinner correlated to your ability to do the job or your ability to build this relationship? Well, no. And so she was believing that she needed to do that instead of believing, oh no, the reason that these people are getting to know me are because I do really care about them. And I'm really good at what I do, right? And so it's like, none of that's required. So that's the kind of thing that you want to just get rid of. It's like, what am I believing that actually isn't true?
That's a really great point. I work in an industry in real estate where we get wined and dined a lot by, you know, affiliates. And it gets to the point where you just expect it and you kind of take it for granted. You know, that's sad to say. I mean, we appreciate it, but it's also something where it's just, you know, it's another meal and you don't remember who gave it to you. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's one of the things for her was like, I want to make these people feel special. It's like, how much more special do you think they'll feel when it's not just one more dinner they're going to, right? When you do something unique that doesn't maybe cost you as much money, that actually shows that like maybe that person is like really into golf and you take them to this like special, like, or get them this like special golf ball or whatever that looks like for them. It's like you actually have done the work to like get to know them instead of just taking them for a fancy dinner that they can buy on their own because they don't need it.
Yeah. Or you remember special days for them or anyway, we're getting sidetracked, but good coaching there. Like,
And then the next piece is earning more. So like, what is it going to take you to get to the next level? So I've had clients literally in 6 weeks, triple their income just by making a shift from one company to another and doing it from, you know, I hate the job that I'm working at to I literally landed my dream job. And it's, or maybe it's, you know, angling for a promotion. I've had a client go from making 175 grand to almost $400,000 just by getting a promotion at her company, like by doing what's required over a number of months to really demonstrate like real value to the company. And so it's like, stop thinking about what is going to take to get to the next level of income by like 5% or like they're going to waiting for a 3% raise every year. It's like, that's not going to move the needle for you. So it's really thinking outside the box on all those things.
Let's talk about easy money versus hard money then, because I feel like I have heard this idea pop up of, do you have the limiting belief that you always have to work really hard to get money? And in some circles, that's like, oh, if you think that, then you're always going to have to work hard to make money. In my experience, you do have to work to get money. It doesn't just come to you. What is your opinion on mindset about believing? Does it make a difference? Does money come to you easier if you believe it comes to you easier? Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I do think you have to work for money, right? In some ways, right? I don't just sit on a meditation cushion and hope that things come to me. Like that's not how I've created my wealth. I think it's important that you take action in the world. But the difference is a lot of people think that the hours they work, the more hours, the more time they put in, they're going to make more money versus really being strategic about what are you doing in those hours to make the most money. So I'll give you the example of that client that had almost 400 grand through that promotion. She had been working for this company. And one of the big things for her was that the clients that she was, you know, building relationships with, that she was responsible for nurturing for her company, were very big, like big contracts, big clients. And so instead of working more hours and just say doubling the amount of work she was doing, just doing more shit at work, she actually honed in on what are the highest ticket clients, the biggest contracts that are most important in my industry. And so instead of going really wide, she went really deep. So she just focused on, and I don't know what the number is, but let's say 5 of these really important, valuable clients. And she would spend more time crafting her pitches to them and nurturing and building those relationships. So the quality of the hours that she was spending was entirely different. And so the results that she was getting for the company, which was then reflected in the pay bump that she got through the promotion, which came months earlier than she anticipated, and they gave her more money than she asked for, was the reflection of, I've actually created so much more valuable because I've landed the highest ticket clients possible. I haven't just worked more hours hoping for the best. I've been very strategic about what I'm doing with my time. And so I think that whether you own a business or you work in corporate, that's really important. It's like, are you just showing up for 16-hour days hoping that somebody sees your effort? Or are you asking your boss, what benchmarks do I need to hit to double my income inside this company? Where do you see me going? You know, do you see that as a possibility for me? Are there opportunities here that would land me? Like, I'm an ambitious person. Are there opportunities that would land me at that level? Because that's, I want to be creating so much value inside this company and paid as a reflection of my work. How do you see that happening? And if the answer is no, you working another 15 years at that company is totally freaking useless, right? You need to be looking. There are other companies. The majority of people don't realize how many opportunities are available to them because they're just looking at what we see in front of us.
So right? Working smart. Yeah. And realizing what I hear you saying, working smart and realizing how much there is out there, not just the limiting what's right in front of you, but realizing that there is a lot to choose from and tapping into that if needed.
It's usually the things that you're avoiding. It's usually the things that feel terrifying. You know, back to my example with the client that was avoiding that uncomfortable conversation for weeks. It's like, on her own without coaching, she probably would have just spent a whole bunch more time trying to get more clients. It's like, instead of just leaning into the like 10-minute, one really uncomfortable conversation, yes, you're avoiding, that's way easier. Like you're making 30 grand more and it took you 10 minutes to create that. That's the difference between just working more and this paradigm that we have all been taught of like, I have to work hard for money. It's like that 10-minute conversation that was deeply uncomfortable for you isn't working harder. It's working more uncomfortably, right?
Love it. Love it. Okay. So let's talk about things that we were not taught in school. If you had to come up with three really important financial techniques or mindsets or whatever it is that you work with that we didn't learn in school that you feel are really important for women to understand, what would they be?
I mean, I think I would just recap some of the things I've said here. So
let's
first, your beliefs create your reality. Anything that you desire is possible for you. And any results that you have right now are a reflection of what you believe to be true. And so before you try the budgeting tool or to learn how to invest or to negotiate your raise, like you've got to be clear on what you're believing. So I think that's something I was never taught in school, right? The approach to managing money around spending is not bad. You just get to have clarity with the right tool on where all your money goes and choose with intention. Like that's what creates a fulfilling life. I think no one ever taught me that. And the other piece around investing and what I've said around, I think you called it working smarter, not harder. I think it's like, it's more than working smarter. It's being like, just always asking yourself the question, like, what is the single most important thing I need to do right now to move the needle on my income? Right? Mm-hmm. Like the highest impact, always coming back to the highest impact actions. So those are some things that, you know, we're versus what we're taught in school, which is our compensation is attached to our hours, which is just should not ever be true, right? Because then you're stuck in this paradigm of I have to work more hours in order to make more money. So even if you don't run a business, get out of that, right? Like if you can put yourself in a position where you're making more per hour, or like you have a commission structure, you're negotiating bonuses. Like if you're a high performer and you're really ambitious, like your compensation should be attached to the value you're delivering for the company, not the hours you put in, right? And so the more value you can create per hour, which is, you know, what my client was doing, right? She was creating a lot more value for each hour she was putting in, which was reflected in her pay.
Yeah, smart.
And then the last piece around investing that we haven't touched on is, you know, I think most people and most women really shy away from investing. And most people believe that investing is really risky and it's really confusing and super complicated. And you have to be a day trader and watch the market and you have to predict, you know, when it's going to be high and when it's going to be low. And actually, what stats and studies show this time and time again, that people that do that and do all that fancy stuff always, like almost always, lose money. Even professionals, 85% of professional money managers trying to do that fail to beat the average. What actually makes you money in the long run is investing. And this is what I teach, a predictable, profitable portfolio, just investing consistently over time in a number, not putting all your eggs in one basket, in a number of different investments. And I can teach people what those are. You start with three things. It's like baking a shortbread cookie. And you just do that consistently over time. You don't need to watch the market. You don't need to get fancy. You do not need to be an expert. And you literally will build yourself a multi-million dollar portfolio. Like, I can show you exactly how that breaks down. And nobody ever taught me that in school.
Well, what a wonderful resource. How do people get in touch with you to work with you if they want?
I can send you a free training that I have for women. They can download that. It's actually called Investor Secrets Revealed. So that goes through, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about and really just giving people a taste of what all of this is like and really diving in deep. Or they can reach out to me on Instagram. I'm kristenwonch.xox, KristenWonch. And I can send you those links as well.
Awesome. Okay. So both of those links will be in the show notes at loveyourstorypodcast.com. So we'll have the links for you to be able to get in touch with her and to download this Investor Secrets Revealed. Kristen, thank you for being here. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share before we close up?
Just, I want more women to know that anything is possible. You know, whatever you want for your life, like whatever it is that you haven't created, like anything is truly possible for you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. I don't know about you, but this conversation with Kristen was really powerful. Everything that we talked about, all of the things that she brought up, felt really spot on to me. So grateful that we could share this, that we could be here and talk about some of these things. I've got some things to think about now, and I hope you did too. I hope you found some value. If you enjoyed this podcast, you will love the book I wrote. It's called Life, Living Intentional and Fearless Every Day. It's a guide with 21 challenges that will help you create connection and possibility and self-care in your life. Not in theory, but really, each of these challenges helps you, and they're super simple challenges, helps you create those things. So big shifts. This is what Love Your Story is about, is these shifts and techniques like Kristen and I talked about today that will help you, just mindset shifts that help you create the life that you want, a guide to helping you live bigger. So grab your copy of Life, Living Intentional and Fearless Every Day on Amazon, and maybe even pick up a couple copies and give one to a friend. You guys can do the challenges together. It's more fun that way. The people who have been doing it in groups, having a great time. So I hope that you found something fabulous to take into your life in today's show. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode, and you keep living your life your way, taking all of these life hacks that we talk about on every single episode and integrating them for your best evolution. We'll see you in 2 weeks.